Welcome to Michelle Speaks. I am your host, Michelle Lawrence. It's the middle of the day in the middle of the week, but you've tuned into the right show to get you over the hump. We will have riveting conversations about what I call the four W's: work, wellness, wisdom, and wealth. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in his sight. Good afternoon, 860 AM listeners. This is your host, Michelle Lawrence. I am so excited to have another hour with you to discuss one of the four W's: worth, wellness, wisdom, and wealth. But like we do with every show we get it started, acknowledging the one who made it all possible, and that is with scripture. And so today's scripture comes from Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 13th through the 16th verse, and it reads as follows. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I've just read for you Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 13th through the 16th verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I love this scripture. So much so that I just keep reading it. And as I get older and wiser, it continues to reveal so much more to me about what it means to let your light so shine. So many of us spend time shrinking back, dumbing down to make others feel better, working diligently in the background to ensure that projects have success, while others step out front and get credit. I'm here to tell you, it's your time to shine. What's important to note is that no matter how we try to hide our gift, it still rises to the top. It continues to put a spotlight on what we have been gifted with and what God has bestowed upon us, not for us to become arrogant, but to be able to walk confidently in the purpose that he has assigned for us. And so having your light so shine means that that which is within you that came from him will continue to draw others unto you, which will ultimately draw others unto him. We need to understand that the gifts and talents that he gave us are not for us. It's not even about us, but that the radiance of our light shines so that men and women will understand that Jesus Christ is still Lord, that he saves, and he is ready to receive them. But when we know who we are, and when we know whose we are, it is both liberating, and this liberation exudes from us. Instead of frowning, we're smiling. Instead of reacting, we have the poise and pause to respond to issues. These are just some of the things that differentiate us, because we are now walking in purpose, our light is shining, and we know that we're ultimately walking in the light that is none other than Jesus Christ. So God is calling his people out of silence, out of the back into the front, and it is time for us to heed the call, because your gift will help shift and change our current situation in our communities and our cities and in our country. It's time for the song of the week. And I know many of you are thinking she's going to play the classic, This Little Light of Mine. Well, I've got a different light that's going to shine, and it's none other than Kelly Price telling us it's my time to shine.
Hey. 1, 2, 1, 2. Here we go. waiting for a long time, gotta do it, and won't let nothing hold me down, gotta do it, because I may not get another chance, I believe it, if I want it, I can have it, I believe it, done with falling, done with losing, I can do it, I think I'll tell myself again,
just heard Kelly Price, It's My Time. And I know folks are going, well, wait, Michelle, you always play gospel. I'll tell you that the lyrics to that song speaks volumes. I had a women's workshop, and I played that song probably every day until I had that workshop around it being your time to shine, your time to rise, your time to fly. And in particular, he's calling on his people to stop shrinking back and falling back. The reason we have some of these situations in our communities today is because we are not rising to the occasion. We are sitting back and looking and becoming more observers rather than participators. We are not taking on the role. And so I'm going to challenge my listeners this week that whatever he's called you to, stop running, stop hiding, stop trying to be in the background. It's not the place that he has for you. It's not the place that he's called you to. And so it's time to shine. And I have two women in the studio that know all about shining. I am so excited about today's show. They are women who have done some extraordinary things in the first volume of their lives. Now, you know, when you have volumes, for those of you who are thinking, you know, well, we keep changing chapters at some point. And I'm not going to go into it too much today, but at some point that book is over. It's done. You have a the end, right? And then you begin, for those who transition into something else, you begin the next volume. With these two women, yeah, it's a series. It's a series. There is just a continuation of work being done, and they are speaking life into men and women about shining and shining in the gift and purpose that you have been called to. And so in the studio, I have none other than Susan Slauson. Now, most of y'all probably remember her as Commissioner Susan Slauson, the Del East Susan Slauson, you know, the I Thought I Retired Susan Slauson. But she is here today, far from retired, and I'm so glad to have her. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much for having me on today, Michelle. This is truly exciting, and congratulations to you talking about shining and giving us opportunities to continue to shine. It is my pleasure to be here, and you're such an example to women that are closing one chapter because you closed your book as well, and you started another. Is this your fourth volume? I'm sorry.
So I already said I would probably get coached on the air today, but it's all good. There's nothing but love in this room. And I also have, let me tell you, when you just meet people and you start picking up conversations, we met for what had to be 10 minutes, Tracy?
Yes.
10, 15 minutes. And then it was fast friends. It was, I have your card. You have my card. We have Tracy Murray Moore in the house, ladies and gentlemen. And she's someone else that has closed out a volume and has begun another volume, and it's the former superwoman. I don't want to call it syndrome, but wait till you hear. Yeah, ladies, you know, we gonna talk about the cape and the capeless and the reason why there is a need for a transition, because we don't have to be. We just don't have to be. So I'm excited. We're gonna jump right in with Susan. So look, she is my sister, and we're going to have some good conversation, because I respect when God puts people in your life that help make you better than you were. Mm-hmm. And And she did that for me so many years ago through a pivotal point, and it shifted what I did. In fact, she made a call to me one morning, and she prayed with me, and I was a wreck when she was done. But that call inspired me to make a call and pray with someone else. And as a result of doing that one activity, that one phone call turned into a daily conference call, prayer call for women that has now been going on for 7 years. And so when I tell you that she, you know, we hear more about what she's, you know, doing today, she was doing it 7+ years ago, because that's how long the call has been going on. So she's been encouraging women and men to walk in their purpose and their calling for some time. And so now she gets to do it, well, almost full time outside of my days. So Susan, share the story of how you transitioned from partly retired, right, from the Dell and from Parks and Rec, Commissioner of Parks and Recreation, to what you're doing today.
You know, what's interesting, it's the transition was I continued to volunteer, because if you're service oriented, it just doesn't stop. So when I retired last May, there was a need for me to continue to be there and work with the great staff that's at the Dell Music Center. And so I worked all last summer. But while I was working, I had already decided prior to retiring that I was going back to school. And my plan was to get my master's in counseling, because I've spent the past 21 years with someone in my office at least 50% of the day, counseling, working with them, helping them get through life. And I decided that God kept presenting me with these opportunities. It's not a coincidence.
Right.
So I wanted to go and get the expertise, the competence that was necessary to be a counselor. But then, you know, while I'm in the midst of retiring, I was offered a position to be an executive coach. You know, heard about them, but really hadn't thought twice about them. But I had really been coaching. Let me say this. There's a difference between mentoring, coaching, being a psychologist, being an executive coach. They're all different.
Yes.
They all have different purposes. And so I've been mentoring, I've been life coaching, and I was offered an opportunity to be an executive coach. And the way I was able to do that is because of my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches usually come from some type background, whether it's counseling, psychology, executive development, something like that. And so I had the experience to do it. But if God's opening up doors for me to step in, I also wanted to make sure I had the expertise. So I decided to go back to school. So, you know, reminded of this, the Superwoman thing, Tracy. That's an issue. It is. And so my real funny story, my husband said we were going to get pictures taken and we were going to all put superheroes on our t-shirts when we took the pictures. And my family looked at me and said, who are you going to put on yours? You?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem, you know. And so I decided to go back to school. I'm still in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working at Girard College as an executive coach. Then I went as an interim director for about 6 months while I'm still in school at Concordia Online, while I decided also to flip my first house.
Yeah.
All of this was within 6 or 7 months.
While I'm still volunteering at the Dell.
While I'm still volunteering at the Dell. Did you notice I didn't mention that I have a husband, two children, two grandchildren, and a niece that I'm raising.
Right.
That's, So here's that volume.
Yes.
In more ways than one. But I've always worked like this.
Mm-hmm.
But this opportunity to become an executive coach is exciting for me, because now my target will be women.
Yeah.
I don't want to limit myself to African-American women, because I believe that I have a little more to offer than just African-American because of what I've done as far as work. And so I finished my certificate in about 4 or 5 weeks, and I can't wait to be out of school.
Amen. Amen.
Michelle, you know I can talk, so I'm going to take a break and let you ask me another question.
Well, I'll tell you, just in hearing, that's why I said, ladies and gentlemen, at the top of this show, that we're talking about volumes and the making of new volumes. When you have been given a gift, it is already taking shape and form the entire time. All of the experiences we're going through is to prepare us for that moment when we're like, okay, well, we're done with this. Whew, now it's time. You know, what do they say we do when we retire? We're going to travel. We're going to sit down. And I'm waiting for that part of the retirement. It's not here yet, and it clearly isn't here for Susan. And as you're talking about becoming this executive coach, in particular with women and all women, I want the listeners to understand why you can do this. You have been the first, the only, the first woman, the first African-American woman, and sometimes the only woman in rooms where you've had to navigate putting the voice in, making sure. Now, Parks and Recs, that sounds, you know, really nice. But when you're looking at current budgets, and she didn't get what, you know, the budget that's being proposed today. But when you are fighting for dollars for inner city rec centers and you're pulling together resources and you have one of the largest parks in the country that you're managing, that's a lot. But you've also had the experience where you've interfaced with all walks of life. You've had the experience where it was, you know, different. Yeah, it was different incomes. So you have the experience to talk to everyone from that experience. Say more about what it was like to be the first, the only, and how you're going to leverage that experience, plus what you did at Girard, into coaching these future women.
I'm going to just step back even a little further because God set me up for the position as recreation commissioner before I even was offered the position by then Mayor Michael Nutter. I was the commanding officer for the Police Athletic League, but prior to that, I was in charge of public affairs for the police department. So the relationships that I built, the knowledge that I gained, the experience that I gained, at the time when I started as the PR rep for the police department, it was the fourth largest country that I am now responsible for all the media. It was during 2001 when the RNC was here. Mm. It was during 9/11 when it was the worst time in our country. I was in charge of public affairs, and so I'm dealing with the media. So I go from there to PAL. PAL is dealing with the Police Athletic League has the best board anywhere in this country. Wow. Anybody that's anybody is on the PAL board. That's who I worked with. So I had experience working with the top executives, all of the presidents and general managers of all of the news stations. That's who I worked with. And so it's interesting. And then I get the opportunity to go and be the recreation commissioner for the city of Philadelphia. But God had placed the steps there for me to naturally move into the various positions. He you know, the word says he orders our steps.
Yes.
That's an ordering of my steps. I didn't ask for any of these positions. They were offered to me. So God had these doors open for me to step in. And so those relationships that I built and the leadership that was developed in me, that I was able to develop in other people, they are just natural opportunities now for me to step into a coaching role. But, you know, Michelle, that's not good enough for me. I had to go back to school.
Oh, that's right.
I had to get the certificate. But I'm excited about that because I want to be competent in whatever it is that I'm doing. I don't want to go just because I've had the experience. I want to have that piece of paper and say, you know, present it to whatever executive that I'm going to sell myself to. Oh, no, I don't just have the experience because I work with them. I went to school and got my certificate. So can we talk?
Yeah. So your time to shine comes with work and labor. Yeah. Your time to shine doesn't come without, you know, there being a sacrifice.
Yes.
There being tears shed. And sometimes, as you know, they say blood, sweat, and tears. There's a grind. that happens before you shine, right? And what I heard you say is all along there was different experiences, different opportunities that gave you different exposure, and you continued to build this acumen. And you could have said, I don't know where this is going. I don't even know why. There were probably periods where you said enough's enough, but stuck in there. And no longer can we hide, you know, Susan's Lawson under a bush, right? Because the light will continue to shine. And listeners, here's what I'll tell you. There is still opportunity where your talent and your work will speak for you, and you will be called upon to move and lead. And it wasn't always, you know, to the easy things. If you heard, Susan said that most of the time she was brought into crisis. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it was crisis. Mm-hmm. So as she took each step, it was, okay, how do I manage this crisis? And then sometimes leaving once it was fixed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I thought about Nehemiah when you made that statement just now. God opens up doors for us to walk into. And so often when we get into these positions, we expect it to be ease, but because well, God put me here.
Right.
If you take the time to read the book of Nehemiah and God has set you on your journey, whatever your journey may be, it was as plain as day that God, and Nehemiah says, God has sent me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He had opposition on every hand. I had, you know, just natural opposition that comes with being a leader, natural opposition that comes with being a female leader. And then I have the double whammy, natural opposition that comes with being an African-American leader.
Yes.
And so do I say, you know what, I'm not going to fight this uphill battle because of all those things that I just mentioned? Or do I look in the Word, find out where I am in the Word of God, and say, you know what, God put him there. There were challenges on every hand, but it was still God leading him. And he was successful because that was God's call on his life. And so I want to encourage listeners that because you are in a position and you feel like there's just major opposition, doesn't mean that it's not, that it's that God hasn't placed you there.
Right.
It means that this is a time to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to impact lives.
Mm-hmm.
You don't shrink back.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be willing to stay in the ring. One of the analogies I use about boxers is, you know, what makes a good boxer is not always how many people he can knock out, but how he can take a punch.
Endurance.
Absolutely.
Persistence.
And resilience. Mm-hmm. We talk about those things. And so for you to, and I'll say to folks who are looking for the right of way, you know, I call it the microwave effect, because we can put popcorn now and we don't have to do it on the stove anymore. And we can stick it in the microwave and in 2 minutes it's ready. That mentality has shifted into a number of different corridors of our life, a number of different facets of our life. Right. We want everything instantaneously and quickly. Growth doesn't happen overnight. Preparation for what's ahead of you and for what you're going to do doesn't happen all overnight. The training is necessary.
Yeah.
The tilling of the land, the work, the reading, the sleepless nights, the I have to lay down at 1 and wake up at 5, you know, all of those things that you hear us say on the show, it's necessary. Most people want to shine and not have the what is the battery that has that long lasted
ever.
Yeah, you know, everybody wants, you know, to shine, but have you ever turned on the bulb and it shines bright for a second and then it blows out?
Yeah.
That's because they haven't prepared. Mm-hmm. And that's what people want to do now. They want to shine bright for that moment and get all they can in that moment, not realizing that there is something about being, you know, sustainability.
Yeah.
There's something about, you know, lasting beyond the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's what the work is about. And that's what you've put in time and time again. And I should not be surprised, because Nehemiah is where you led me some years ago when I was just throwing up my hands. I had more of a Marvin Gaye approach, make me want to holler. I was just like, throw up both my hands. And she was like, no, we're going to fast and pray and we're going to read Nehemiah. And I came back with, yeah, he had a sword. Can I cut somebody? And she thought that
get on the
better
wall.
Of it. Just get on the
get
wall
on the
and
wall.
Get to work. Yeah. Get on the wall and get to work.
Yeah.
and understand that you're still going to have to fight, because Nehemiah mm-hmm. was still wise. He was watching and building, mm-hmm. watching and building, and built, you know, had the right people close enough. We tend to have the wrong people too close to what we want, and then our dreams don't come as soon as they could, because we have people ciphering off and sucking us dry. But when the right people are with you, in 52 days, you can rebuild a wall that's been down for a number of years. Yes. And that's what he did. And so lights shining, like, you know, my dear friend Susan, don't come because they haven't worked.
You know, I was thinking when you talked about the boxer, I'm thinking about, you know me, I always get back there. Our roots.
Yeah.
Our roots. The leaves on the trees, the branches on the trees, they're only as good as those roots that mm-hmm. are planted. Roots don't get planted overnight.
Yeah.
Roots don't stay, keep their firmness when the storms come.
Wow.
If you are in a year, it takes time. It takes nourishment. It takes some sun. It takes some rain. It takes some storms to even know if that tree is going to withstand. And so as women, as life comes, this is real life.
Yeah.
Storms come.
Yeah.
And I think if we start preparing.
Absolutely.
For the storms, mm-hmm. when they come, we're not going to get floored. You could get shaken. That's real.
And
you're going to get shaken.
Sway.
Yeah. You go
sway.
With the mm-hmm. you the trees, they have enough roots mm-hmm. deep down in the soil where they may bend, yes. but they're coming back up.
Yeah, they don't break.
They don't break.
So you would think that we were in session together, because as you started talking about trees, two things came to me. My grandfather's last sermon was in "Ye Shall Be Like a Tree Planted by the Rivers of Water," right? Currently at service, we are talking about never give up. And we made reference, or Pastor KJ made reference to the bamboo tree, that it's 5 years in the ground. So every day, you know, the farmer is coming and watering and fertilizing something that they can't see for 5 years, 60 months, right? I'm not even going to go, you know, my partner normally knows the days. I can't even go into how many days that's equivalent to. But you are literally going into, I am watering, fertilizing something I can't see. But that's because the roots are getting stronger. Mm-hmm. And then in short days after the fifth year, it grows 90 feet tall. 90 feet tall. So after you've put in the time, right, you begin to shine, because there's not a whole lot that grows 90 feet tall. But that is what I think about when you start talking about roots and trees, and then what we're able to do with bamboo as a result of it, you know, because of the kind of wood it is and the thousands of things it can be used for. That's what God has for us. That's mm-hmm. why you have a new volume, because you have deep roots and there's a plethora of things that he is doing for you, through you, and with you. What would be your parting words for this segment, Susan?
Of my life? Or just like this conversation?
What would you leave our listeners with in terms of preparing for their time to shine?
I think one of the things that we have to do as people is live with a culture of trust, mm-hmm. transparency, mm-hmm. value.
Yeah.
So whether it's home, whether it's work, whether it's with your friends,
yeah,
we're supposed to stand and represent something.
Come on.
And it can't be, today I am whatever you may be today.
Right.
You have to know who you are. Because if you know whose you are, you have these standards in place.
Absolutely.
And so if I could leave anything, you know, as I take on this position of becoming an executive coach, I'm going to be stepping into the lives of women and possibly men, and I have to come with a culture that I can pass on to them that they will be able to implant.
Yeah.
If it's not already in their department or organization, I can't just come just wavering with, just kind of floundering all over the place.
Right.
But it has to be who I am.
Mm.
We need to know who we are. We need to have that, those firm roots.
Yeah.
Because we need to be able to impact the lives of people that we come into contact with. And you can't do that if you don't know who you are. It is about leaving a legacy, whether it's on my job, at home, or just passing somebody on the streets and having a conversation. I should be able to impact their lives enough where I'm making a change. That's what I believe.
And that's why it's her time to shine, ladies and gentlemen. If you just heard all of that encapsulated around what needs to happen, how it needs to happen, and leaving an imprint and making an impact. I'll tell you that she leaves an imprint. There are folks who can make an impact. Susan leaves an imprint. And that is something that, you know, I strive to do. That is something that I believe that when you acknowledge your purpose and your calling that you can do. Because you understand, I just finished reading that your gift is not about you, and that attached to your gifts and talents are souls that need to be saved. So when you're not walking in the excellence that she described, just, you know, not that your years of experience mean nothing, because they do. You've worked for that. But then to, you know, gird that up with having additional education, certification, and getting more well-rounded, because there is more to the scope of what needs to be done than just what you've experienced. That says something about the excellence. Narrow focus, narrow outcomes. Big focus. It's a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. Grateful to have Susan Slauson with us on this first segment of It's My Time to Shine. I need you to stay tuned, because we're going to hear about the former superwoman. And it doesn't mean that she's not doing super things. It just means that she doesn't have to rely on her own cape to make it happen. This is 860 AM. Michelle Speaks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This Wednesday, 1 p.m., drop everything that you're doing and tune in right here, the heart of the city, with me, Malik Boyd. This is a no-holds-barred show. Real issues, real discussions, real solutions. And with some great guests, hot topics, and some surprises mixed in, I promise you this will be a show you don't want to miss. The Heart of the City with me, Malik Boyd, Wednesday, 1 p.m., right here on 860.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Philly Labor RX Injured Workers Pharmacy Network, featuring PPC Pharmacy, First Choice Pharmacy, and Precision Scripts, providing injured workers with premium products and services from the point of injury through the entire healing process. The Philly Labor RX Pharmacy Network cares about injured workers.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the why, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
We are back with the second half of the show of It's My Time to Shine, and I can't begin to tell you how excited I am to continue this conversation with Tracy Murray Moore. But just a few pieces from the first half of the show. Susan drove home the importance of putting in the work, that you don't have the success that you are looking for when you have not been tested and tried. It's in the testing, the trials, it's in the tilling of the land that you begin to understand and develop your gift, your talent, your skills, that you begin to know who you are and then connecting that to whose you are. In this, you grow, and in this testing and trial, your roots are strengthened. And she talked about how important roots are. When you're grounded, it means that when you are facing tough decisions, when you have been called into chaotic situations to bring about a norm and to bring about a resolution, you can do so. Because unlike everyone else who's in that position, flipping out, you can come in and say, let me assess, let me ask high impact questions, gather more data, and then let me respond accordingly. That is why roots are necessary. That is why the test and trials come. And then all of this, for those of us who are believers, there's nothing like walking in your purpose and your calling and understanding that everything he is bringing us to, he will indeed bring us through. That's not just a cliche, but that it is also for the building of who you are going to be. You're not done yet is a conversation that was held last night. We're just not. He's not finished. And there is still yet another volume. So we are going to continue with this conversation of It's My Time to Shine. And I'm going to do Tracy Murray Moore some justice. She is the CEO of Tracy Murray Moore Consultancy. She also has experience as a full-time HR consultant in corporate world. Tracy is a former superwoman in charge. And I'm telling you, when you hear more about what that is, I'm excited. She's an author, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to have her share components from her book. She has projects. This is near and dear to my heart, and I wish we had more time. I will probably bring her back. Shatter the Glass Youth Enrichment Program. So she's not only talking about shining herself, but helping the next generation identify early on their gifts and talents, and then helping them transition out of the situations they're in because they're at-risk youth. And sometimes we want to wash our hands of them, but she says, no, there is still purpose. And so, Tracy, I'm ready. From the time we met in that workshop, there has just been significant energy. We have exchanged. Y'all, she volunteered and worked at the workshop. And this is what I mean. Because you heard Susan say that. She rendered a service to me after only meeting me twice. and she served all day.
Yeah.
That's a heart after God. And that's not why she's on the show. She's on the show before that. but when you're willing to do those things, shining, it happens.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about who knows me and where's the spotlight now. It comes because the work. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me. It is really a pleasure to be here. And Susan just really empowered me. So I feel like I need a seat on her couch as an executive. But I thank you very much for the platform to really talk about some things that are really near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. And it is really about, you know, us as women really taking the time and giving ourselves permission to dream again, to ask ourselves the question about what really makes us happy and resonates with our soul. And so often we spend our time really pouring into the lives of so many others. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. But sometimes the well gets a little empty.
Absolutely.
And you need to figure out your way home. And so I stand on the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope for the future and a future. And that principle, that scripture has really helped me to remain grounded, as we talked earlier about swaying.
Yeah.
And as life or boxer gets, you know,
hit, in the ring. That's
in the
right.
ring. It's important, I think, to remember that there is a plan.
Yeah.
For your life. There is a purpose for your life. And a few weeks ago, a friend reminded me of dreams that I shared with her when I was in my early 30s. Dreams that I had forgotten about, a conversation I had actually forgotten about.
Wow.
And she said to me, "You're living the life that you dreamed about and you spoke life into some, you know, years ago."
Right.
And that was a full circle moment for me, because I think we spend a lot of time just doing that, dreaming.
Mm. With no action.
With no action, or little action, or you're actually moving, but not really clear about the direction. And Susan really helped me to remember that, you know, in life you do plan, you do prepare, you get the degrees, you form the relationships. And that's preparation.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it doesn't always, the dots always don't connect. But it's when you have those full circle moments like I'm having right now.
Yeah.
About the opportunity just to share my journey, which has been tough at some points. I've been in HR, as you said, for 20 years.
Yeah.
And oftentimes impacting lives, oftentimes wondering if I'm making a contribution. And Shatter the Glass really is a result of that. Shatter the Glass is my call to action, as I say, to really impart and empower a focus for youth.
Yeah.
I would sit in meetings or interviews with people, and they're complaining about the youth and not having a viable workforce. And I said, you know, these kids look just like me.
Right.
And what can I do to ensure that they are prepared and properly equipped with the tools to help them to be successful? And so Shatter the Glass is my passion project.
Yes.
To go into the school systems and not to, you know, say that guidance counselors aren't doing a great job. It's just there's so many students that need real relevant opportunities information about what's the current state of the workforce.
Right.
How do I prepare myself? to how do I even make a decision about a career. So I walk them through things that they need to think about, resume writing, interview skills. And we have quite some robust debates about what's appropriate and
yes,
what's not.
I'm certain. I'm certain in this new generation that even down to language and style, mm-hmm. that all of those things become important. But, you know, at least the conversation has to start somewhere. Yeah. And because they're talking, that at least shows that they have an interest in who they are and what they want to become. So if that's the starting point,
yeah,
so be it.
They bless me. They bless me because we often think that they're not interested and mm-hmm. they're not engaged. They just need to be heard.
And they show up different than we do. And all of a sudden it's, well, because it's not a behavior that I can connect to, then it must mean disinterest. When, in fact, if we would just pay attention to the trends, mm-hmm. our interests have shifted generation to generation.
Yes.
So thank you for finding a way to connect with these young folks,
yeah.
and get them ready,
yeah.
for the realities of the workforce.
That's
so,
right.
Talk about the book. Yes.
The book. The book is called The Professional Black Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of 20-something authors.
Yes.
I actually wrote a blog for a woman's business several years ago, and it was called Superwoman Has Officially Left the Building.
Yes.
So that's the...
Not Elvis. But Superwoman.
Superwoman. We are plagued, I would say, by
yes.
the Superwoman persona. And we take great pride in being able to juggle all of the balls in the air and wear many hats. We've mm-hmm. seen our grandmothers do it. We've seen our mothers do it, our aunties. And we've, you know, assumed the Superwoman persona as well.
Yeah.
And for me, that came at a cost. I've been preparing and working and grinding for, you know, since I was 16 years old, and I thought that that was what I was supposed to do and I could do it successfully. But it really showed up, this persona, and the impact of the persona really took its toll on my health. You know, high blood pressure.
Right.
It took its toll on my family,
yeah.
you know, my children.
Mm-hmm.
My children had all the trappings of life, but they said, you're not here.
Right.
You're not present when you are here.
Yeah. So say that again.
I was not present when I was there.
So we can be there in body. Was the song was saying your body's here with me, but your mind is
yes.
on the other side. So our children are saying, you know, you're here physically,
mm-hmm.
but mentally mm-hmm. you're someplace else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Superwoman persona took its toll, honestly, on my self-worth. I, mm. you know, questioned whether or not I was a good mother, a good corporate leader, a good friend,
yeah.
a good wife.
Yeah.
All of those things impacted me and came down like a ton of bricks.
Mm.
One day I was driving on this 3-hour commute to a job that didn't value me in any way. And I realized that I wasn't living an authentic life. A life that really nourished me mentally and physically.
Right.
But the golden handcuffs or of money,
yeah.
of title, of status,
mm.
really kept me trapped.
Mm.
And I was stagnant. And people depended on me. I had all these financial obligations. How could I really begin to shed the layers
yeah.
that I had put on around responsibility? How could I do that and not be viewed as a failure? I mean,
wow.
I take great pride in all of the things that I've accomplished.
And the juggling.
And the juggling.
Yeah, and masterfully. Yeah. You know, there's nothing like being called the master, multitasker,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I said I have to change
yeah.
The way that I am living this life.
Mm.
And I made an intentional decision to leave corporate America.
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't an easy decision for me to make, but I had lost my voice. I had lost my voice, and I wasn't really sure how I was going to get it back.
Right.
But I knew that I needed to remove myself from that corporate job, that day to day. I had to remove the layers that I had placed upon me. And so I really made an intentional decision to get my voice back.
Yeah.
And in 2016, I would say that's when I really started the journey. My pastor, got to give a shout out to Kevin Brown of the Perfecting Church.
Absolutely.
One Sunday, I was listening to his sermon, and he was talking about LEAP.
Wow.
And so my life was transformed by the word LEAP in 2016. And for me, that message really was about silencing the negative voices in my head that said I wasn't good enough, or I wasn't smart enough, or wasn't capable enough. I didn't have the right credentials or experience. It was about silencing that negative talk, and really remembering the scripture I just read, really,
right.
What is my foundation? What has God shown me and invested in me to mm-hmm. share, to mm-hmm. serve? And I just started moving. So every new experience, every new opportunity for me to share, to give, to love, to do, to be, I would say LEAP.
Yeah, absolutely.
So every time I would do something, the hashtag would be LEAP for 2016 for me. And I have to tell you, with every opportunity, I was able to drown out the negative self-speak and really embrace a life of positive possibilities. And the most amazing thing is that I got my voice back.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. So I need listeners to tie this all together about it is your time to shine. Even with, in order to shine, if it means shedding, there is never a necessity to keep carrying the load and making everyone else's baggage a part of your journey. Part of why we're shrinking back and hiding is because we don't have the energy just to exert the energy to do the things that have been placed before us. As our own calling, let it go. You are still worth it. You are still in purpose. He still has a plan. The plan does not mean carry everybody else. You know, one of the things that I enjoyed about, you know, as I research and prepare for these shows is that I do a lot of looking at different scopes of things. And eagles, you don't see them in packs. You very seldom see them. You know, normally when we see other birds, there's one in the front and they form some this almost airplane type look. But eagles don't do that. They understand that they have a large wingspan and they need room to soar. It is time to spread your wings. And in order to spread them, that means you need the, you know, room on the left and the right in order to stretch out. In order to get to higher heights, you have to shed all of the things that's currently weighing you down. And what I heard Tracy say is, and then understand that Superwoman doesn't get you any closer to shining.
No, it doesn't.
That you can shine all the brighter and all the more. Tracy, we got like 60 seconds. What would you leave our listeners with?
So my hashtag for 2017 is the word relinquish.
Yes.
And so I would say to the listeners, relinquish those things, those people, those situations that no longer honor you. Mm-hmm. You know what they are. Those people know who they are. So relinquish, relinquish, relinquish.
I'm telling you, I am probably doing high fives in the air to Tracy and shouting, because when she first said that at the tea, it resonated with me so much so that I had her say it over and over again to the audience. So she said it three times for you. You know, I need you to hear that. You don't have to hold on to something that does not belong to you. Because if you're holding on to that, you can't possibly receive what he has coming. So it is your time to shine. You need strong roots. You need to understand that you have a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. You need to understand that you have to put work in. Nehemiah, put the work in. You also have to understand that sometimes you will need to be alone with just you and the Maker.
Yeah.
So that you can be restored, replenished, and ready for work. This has been a great show around It's My Time to Shine. Last week I charged my listeners with, you know, saying thank you to officers, men of honor, and saying thank you. This week I'm charging all the listeners to look closely at your roots. Are they strong enough? Have they been tested? Are you watering and fertilizing the things that will help you grow stronger? Like Nehemiah, do you have the right people around you to make it happen? Mm. Are you also relinquishing the people, the things that were holding you down that's keeping you from soaring? That's the charge this week. I also wanted to make an announcement that we have a 2-day workshop coming up. It's Women, It's Time to Heal, September 21st and 22nd. It will be held at the Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. The link will go up today, before the end of the day. Look for that. We are so excited about these 2 days. We have great guests, to the tune of about 15 women that will be panelists and sharing different perspectives. I have loved this show. I love you. It's Michelle Speaks Radio on Instagram, Twitter, and Michelle Speaks Radio on Facebook. This concludes our show. God bless. Oh.